I'm going to be reading John 12, 12 through 19, a familiar story, I'm sure. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went out to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." We are celebrating Palm Sunday, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The palms on the altar help us to remember that. Jesus had a destiny. He knew exactly what his destiny was. Whereas we may think we know our destiny, but it doesn't always necessarily work out that way. Jim French and a friend stopped for dinner at a Chinese restaurant. The meal was delicious, so Jim asked the waiter if he could have the recipe. Well, the waiter went back to oblige and asked the cook, and a few minutes later he returned with a folded piece of paper. Everybody was happy until Jim unfolded the paper and discovered the recipe was written in Chinese. Not what he expected. Peanuts cartoon from years ago, in the first panel, Charlie Brown says, "I learned something in school today. I signed up for folk guitar, computer programming, stained glass, art, shoemaking, and a natural foods workshop." Then he continues, "I got spelling, history, arithmetic, and two study periods." Charlie's friend asks, "So what did you learn in school today?" Charlie replies, "I learned that what you sign up for and what you get are two different things." And that lesson can be applied in most things in our lives. We don't always get the things that we sign up for. We don't always get the things that we expect. And often what we expect and what we experience are two different things. But that's just a part of life. And the disciples, you know, they had to wonder a little bit about what was going on. They had certain expectations, just like the people of Jerusalem. They expected Jesus to come into Jerusalem and become king. They really expected him to hire a band of rebels and take over and beat the Romans and become an earthly king. But that was not the proper expectation. That is not what he was there for. And him riding in on a humble donkey represents part of that. Because rather than riding in on a great white stallion like the kings would, he rode in on a humble donkey. He knew what his destiny was. He knew where he was going, what was going to happen to him. But the disciples didn't quite get that. So I'll take you back 2,000 years to that first Palm Sunday. Jesus comes riding in on the back of a donkey. Children are waving palm branches. The crowd is shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They do not know that they are welcoming into their city someone who soon will be dead, crucified like a common criminal. But Jesus knows. All of his life has been directed towards this one act, this one thing. He tried to warn his disciples, but they didn't understand. He would tell them things like, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." On another occasion, he said, "No sign will be given to you but the sign of Jonah." He knew where his destiny was. It may have not been easy for him. We all recall the night that he was arrested, he would pray to the Father, "If possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." The human part of Jesus was scared because he knew what was going to happen. But the divine part of Jesus also knew that it had to happen. But he went ahead and rode into the city anyway, knowing all the things that were going to happen to him, his date with destiny, if you will. But the disciples, they saw that as the hour of victory, a time that they've been waiting for. Oh boy, he's going to come into the city and be the king. They thought the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. But they didn't understand what that glorification was. It wasn't to be glorified like you would an earthly king. It was to be glorified as our Savior. And it's something that Jesus had been preparing them for. He'd been telling them all along, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. They didn't understand that. He was trying to tell them in a way that he had to die to be able to save everybody. If he didn't, we were all lost. There would be no fruits. There would be no salvation for us. And he would tell them things like, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. And they would say, fine, you know, we'll follow you wherever you go. We're prepared to do whatever you do. Until it came right down to it, and they weren't as prepared as they thought they were. Because when he was arrested, they all scattered. And poor Peter, he thought he was just going to be brave and strong. But he denied Christ, just like Christ predicted to him. They should have by that time known that whatever Christ told them was going to come true. You may remember the comic strip Hagar the Horrible. Hagar confronts his not-so-bright sidekick, Lucky Eddie. He says, I need a second in command. Can you say yes or no with authority? Lucky Eddie shouts back, yes or no with authority. Hagar says to himself, I think I'm going to be sick. But the thing we can say about Lucky Eddie, he was eager to please. He wanted to do those things that would please Hagar the Horrible. Just like we are eager to please Christ. We are eager to do those things that Christ wants us to do because Christ knows where we need to be. We need to follow him. And as we make decisions, we need to trust in him. Because the decisions that we make affect our lives and other lives, and it may not be exactly what you thought your destiny was going to be. You may be in another direction because that's where God wanted you to be. Pastor John Cramp says, salvation may be free, but discipleship will cost you everything. And I think the disciples were beginning to see that it was going to cost them their lives. Another way of putting that, I remember a friend quite a few years ago in a Sunday school class, he says, you know what's wrong with churches today? There's no service after the sale. Now think about that. It's easy to become a Christian. It's not so easy to stay a Christian. And it's up to us to help those who are beginning their Christian journey to follow through with that. That's the cost of becoming a Christian, to help others be Christian. Things don't always go the way we plan. We have all these plans in our lives. I know quite a few years ago, some people that were reaching the age of retirement, they were watching their 401k grow, and they thought, I've got these plans, I'm going to draw out that money, and I'm just going to have me a great retirement. And the stock market crashed. And they saw their 401ks diminished to almost nothing. So the big plans that they had, those expectations that they had, they weren't there anymore. Life changes sometimes like that. Or the young couple that gets married and they have all these big plans about their life together. And the first time trouble rears its ugly head, they're ready to give up. It's about trusting God, being committed, and doing the right thing. We have to realize that even though we may have high hopes for some particular thing, maybe God doesn't have those same high hopes. Maybe God has high hopes for us in a different place. And we have to be prepared for that. And it's not a bad thing, even though sometimes bad things happen to change that direction. We have to trust that God is doing those things for our own good. It is something that He knows where our destiny needs to be. And part of the way we achieve that is holding on to our values. We have to hold on to those values that we learn as Christians. We have to hold on to doing the right thing. And sometimes that's hard. But nonetheless, we have to do that. We have to remain committed, and we have to hold on to our values. And Jesus' soul was troubled that night, but His disciples didn't see that. Their values were perhaps in the wrong place, and those values were about to be changed. Author Ray Pritchard writes about the difficult nature of following God's will. He says, many times we start a new project believing that what we are doing is the will of God, and yet very often the things do not work out as planned. That new job you took that you thought was going to fix everything, maybe it didn't work out. That house that you thought that's going to take care of things, maybe that didn't work out. We have to follow God's will to where He wants us to go. And that is our destiny. Not where I think I need to go or you think you need to go. It's where God wants you to go. It's God's will in our life. There were 5 dedicated missionaries a few years back. They went into this Indian tribe in Ecuador, and they were all killed. Well, a reporter was asking their wives about the incident and why God would permit that to happen. I mean, those missionaries were on a mission for God. And one of the wives turned to the reporter and said, "Sir, God delivered my husband from the possibility of disobedience. They were doing what God wanted them to do. That was great faith. That's what we have to be willing to do. To have that strong faith, even in the face of adversity, the direction God wants us to go. We have to have faith. We have to know God's word. We have to know what God wants us to do. Jesus declared, "Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." Then notice what the Bible says. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. And think about that. That voice came from heaven, and this bunch over here heard thunder. But this bunch over here heard the voice of angels. And that's the way it is in our world, in our society. That's the way it is still today. There are groups of people that God could be standing right in front of them and tell them something and they wouldn't hear it. But then there's that other group, the committed Christian faithful group that hears every word God says, and He doesn't have to be standing right in front of you. That's just the way of it. That's the way of the world. It's like the parable that Jesus talks about the sower. Some seeds fall on fertile ground and grow and provide great fruit. Other seeds fall on barren ground and wither and die. There are seeds that fall among the weeds. Those people in our peer groups or those people that we work with that are non-believers that talk people out of Christianity. That's the weeds. So there are different ways of reacting to God. There are different ways people hear God or see God. And that's a part of life. But as Christians, we go into our faith, we keep our values, we look for that victory, even the victory at the end of our life. We have to trust that that's the direction God wants us to go. The direction He knows is best for us. There was a Vietnamese evangelist in 1995 who the communists arrested, beat him, and threw him in prison because he was preaching the gospel of Christ. Well, about 6 months later, after a lot of pressure from Christians around the world to release this man, they finally gave in and they went to this prison and they told him he was free to go. He refused to be released. He said so many men in prison were coming to Christ because of him. He wanted to stay and serve out his full sentence. He was where God wanted him to be. Now, I'm sure it was no fun getting arrested and beat up and thrown into prison, but that's where God wanted him to be, and that's how God got him there. And after being there and saving the inmates around him, he realized that was his destiny. That was where God wanted him to be. Just like Jesus knew his destiny was death. So we look at our lives and we look around us and we look at those things that we expect to happen, and sometimes we get something else. But that's okay, because that something else may be God's something else, God's place for you to be. Ancient records tell us that many disciples were killed for their faith back in the early church. It's not that way so much anymore, except in some of the third world countries where people still, Christians still get persecuted for preaching the gospel. They have to hide in basements and places where they're not found to keep from being killed. So it does still go on in some places. But they are holding fast to their values and their faith and their destiny. They know that's where they are supposed to be. That is their purpose in life. That's where God has them for a reason. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the Nazi prison camp knew that at one point they were going to hang him. But he accepted that. He said, in view of our supreme purpose, the present difficulties and disappointments seem trivial. So think about that. That's like I keep saying, those not so fun things that happen in our lives, they're trivial compared to God's supreme purpose for us. We can suffer a little bit for God to use us in the right place. We have purpose. We have destiny. We have only to listen to where God wants us to go. And if you don't listen, sometimes He will make you listen. We have a grand purpose in life. We have this grand destiny, a direction to go. Billy Sunday says, more men fail through lack of purpose than through lack of talent. It's not about how good you are. It's not about doing great things from your mind, your talents. It's about purpose. And if you don't have purpose, you're going to fail. Destiny is something that our world needs. People need to see that they have a purpose, a place to go, a destiny in life. Visitors to Florida will flock to see the Bach Singing Tower and Bird Sanctuary. In Edward Bach's life, he penned these words from his grandmother: "Wherever your lives may be cast, make the world a bit more beautiful and better because you have lived in it." And those are great words to commit to your conscious mind. It's about who we are, having faith, keeping our values, and making the world a little bit better place, a more beautiful place, because we were there and we helped make it that way. And that is our destiny in life. It may not be what you thought when you were young, coming up through high school and thinking, I'm going to be this or I'm going to be that. Maybe it didn't work out that way, but you are where God wants you to be. You are in God's destiny for you. Jesus had a destiny. You may have scared him some, but he knew he had to do it. So even though sometimes we get into those situations that seem a little scary, and we wonder what's going to happen, we have to trust that that's our destiny and that's where God wants us to go. Amen.